The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Today, we come to an end. And next Sunday, we come to a beginning. Today, we come to the end of the church year. Next Sunday, we begin a new church year with the first Sunday in Advent. It's kind of like being born, or being conceived, I should say. Your conception was the beginning of your earthly life. And then, when you die, that's the end of your earthly life. When you contemplate, think about last things, you can think about your death. Indeed, it is good to remember that we are going to die, Scripture says. The psalmist writes, "Lord, teach me to know my end and the number of my days. Teach me to know, Lord, that I am mortal, that I am not going to be in this world forever, that one day these hands that move and this tongue that forms words and the feet that carry me places and the heart that beats and the lungs that take in and expel air, they are all going to be stilled by death." It's happened to people you know. You have had loved ones and friends die. It's happened to people I know. None of us has gotten very far in life without witnessing the death of people we know. And it's happening to us as well. Hey, I wasn't born with these wrinkles. I wasn't born with this gray hair. I wasn't born losing muscle tone, but rather able to gain muscle tone through the use of my muscles. I wasn't born with, say, high blood pressure or congestive heart failure or broken bones or breathing difficulties. None of us were. These things are a sign of the impending end. In today's gospel reading for the last Sunday of the church year, Jesus carries on with the discourse he began in Mark 13 about the end of Judaism, the end of the Jewish form of worship, the end of the temple, and the end of the world. You remember how last Sunday the disciples were marveling over the magnificence of the temple's buildings, the big stones, the way they gleamed in the light. And Jesus said, "You see these stones, these magnificent stones, I tell you the truth. A time is coming when not one stone will be left upon another." And we could look at it this way. These people who make the headlines, the high and mighty in the world, the movie stars, the rock stars, the musicians, the millionaires, the billionaires, the people everyone envies, or some people envy. The time is coming when not one stone of their life will be left upon another, and they too shall pass away. So it is with them. So it is with you. So it is with me. So it is with the automobiles we drive, the clothing we wear. So it is even with this church building, beautiful as it is. The time is coming when not one stone, not one brick, not one part will be left upon another, but it shall all disintegrate. And so it is with the universe in which we live. So it is with our home. So it is with this planet, this terra firma we call home. Jesus says, in those days, after that tribulation, after that time of trouble and persecution, which the church has experienced from the very beginning of the Holy Christian Church at Pentecost, or the very beginning at our Lord's incarnation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven. The powers in the heaven will be shaken. It will all come apart. It will all fall to pieces at God's judgment. Let me ask you a question. When was the sun darkened in biblical history? Can you think of a time when the sun went black and there was no light upon the earth? Wilma's got it. Ulrika, go ahead. I heard Wilma. When Jesus died on the cross, as he bore the sins of the world, as he bore all of your sins, as he carried those sins upon himself, and as he embraced them, you could say, as his own sins, and as he willingly endured the judgment and the condemnation that you and I, by our sins, deserved, Jesus took it all upon himself, the holy, perfect, righteous Son of God. The one who is the second person of the Holy Trinity from all eternity, who is perfect and glorious in all his ways. He took that sin for you and me. He endured the hell of God's judgment in our place. And the sun hid its face in shame. And he went through the darkness, the despair of death and condemnation. But you see, that's the beginning of a new creation. When the Son of God enters this world and agrees and gladly wills to drink the cup of his Father's wrath in our place, not to let it pass away, but to drain it right down. That's the beginning of the new creation when he goes to the cross. And there in his death on the cross and in his resurrection, we have the end of the old order of things. And creation begins to be made new. And you too, mortal though you are made new by the gospel in your baptism. All who are in Christ are a new creation, Scripture says, and so it is with you. Wait a minute. You look in the mirror, as I do, when you first get up in the morning, and you sure don't look new. Maybe you go, ah! And you turn away and you come back 5 minutes later once your face has settled into place. And then it's not so bad. When you get up in the morning, maybe you've got aches and pains and it really hurts to move. You don't feel new. And when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, you could stand to lose a few pounds. Or, we've got to do something about that blood pressure. Or, I hear something in your heart that just doesn't sound right. Or, your blood test indicates that we ought to explore a little further. And maybe there's something going on, and you're hoping to God that it's not cancer. When these things happen, you don't feel new. When that first gray hair comes, when that first wrinkle, You don't feel new, but nonetheless, in Christ, you are new. In your baptism into Christ, you are a new creation, and you participate in advance as a citizen in that new heaven and that new earth which Christ shall bring to pass. You participate by God's grace through the word of forgiveness, through the sacraments, in Christ's kingdom of mercy and grace, and you shall certainly participate in his kingdom of glory in heaven and when he returns to earth. What's the guarantee of this? Hey, we don't see it. How do we know it's real? Well, Jesus gives the clue in verse 31 of today's gospel, when he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." The heavens around us, the familiar earthly things, our bodies themselves will pass away. They will decay and crumble into nothing. But the word of Christ will not pass away. The word of the Lord endures forever. And think about this. Here we are, 2,015 years after the birth of our Lord. 2,000, almost 2,000 years from the time of his crucifixion and resurrection, and we are still hearing his words. We are still quoting his words. His words are still being proclaimed. Do you think the words of Caiaphas, the shoe cobbler in Jerusalem, are still being proclaimed? Do you think the words that Joachim said to his wife in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago are still being proclaimed? No, but the word of Christ endures. And that word for you is a saving word. That's the word Christ speaks to you in his gospel, to cover up all of your sins, to take those sins away. That's a word that was applied to you when the water was poured over you, and the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was spoken upon you, above you, to you in your baptism. That's a word of institution and the word of distribution. Take and eat. This is Christ's body and blood given for you. Take and drink. This is the true body of Christ Jesus. The body given for you. The blood shed for you. That's a word that has been spoken for going on 2,000 years, and it's spoken every day in this world in the Holy Christian Church. And it's a word you should receive with gladness and with joy. Go into Jude for a minute, and then we're going to wrap it up. The epistle reading from Jude. Jude writes, "To the church." This is not to individuals. It is to the church. He's addressing the whole church, the whole congregation which he writes. So it is God's word to us as a congregation of the Holy Christian Church. When you hear the "you," understand that that "you," Y-O-U, is plural. It's inclusive of all of us. "But you," and let's put it in North Carolinese, "but you all, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves, all of you, in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Now to him who is able to keep you all from stumbling and to present you all blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever." It is the words of Christ that keep you secure in your Christian faith. It is our coming together regularly as a body of believers, gathered around the Word and the sacraments, that builds us up in the most holy faith. As in the liturgy, we pray in the Spirit. As we keep ourselves in the love of God by being here, where that love is made manifest to us in the preaching of the gospel, in holy baptism, in the Holy Supper, as we wait together for something that's going to be so wonderful beyond our imagining, the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, when that mercy is fully and finally and ultimately revealed, when Jesus appears for His holy people. We are a family here. We all observed Thanksgiving a few days ago. Thanksgiving is kind of a family celebration, and if one member of the family is not able to be there, they are missed. So it is with us on Sunday mornings as our family gathers together around the Word and the sacraments. We miss it when you aren't here. We miss it when others aren't here. We are family who together await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through His Word, and through His sacraments, and through the preaching that not only has Christ come in the flesh, not only has He died on the cross, not only has He been raised again and ascended into heaven, but He is coming again. And our response, our responsibility, is to do as Jesus says, to be on guard. That's an imperative. Do it. Be on guard. Keep awake. That's an imperative too. Stay awake. He says it twice. And you can't stay awake going your own way. You can't stay awake by separating yourself from the Word and from the sacraments, because that will lull you to sleep and to the loss of faith more quickly than anything else. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' words will not pass away. And those words keep you in the faith, keep you secure in God's grace, not only in this world, not only as you experience difficulty, not only as you get older and those aches and pains come upon you, but even when you die, when you are in heaven, when Christ comes again and your body is called out of the grave. And then because of those words, it's going to be true for you. Heaven and earth will pass away to be replaced by a new heaven, a new earth, and your body raised up and made new will never, ever pass away. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.